this past Shabbos was Parshas Emor, and again, in continuation of the theme that the Rebbe was discussing in the week before, actually starts off the Sicha saying in continuation. Again, the Sicha starts off saying in continuation of what we spoke about the Geula, that the word Geula is the same letters as the word Geula with the addition of an Aleph. That's how the Rebbe actually starts off the Sicha as a direct continuation, and says, and how this fact that Geula is the word Geula with the addition of an Aleph, how this expresses the substance of what redemption is, more than the other terms used in the Torah to describe the idea of redemption, that the word Geula expresses much more, and he breaks it down into two basic points. One is that the idea of Geula is the redemption of all things that were trapped in exile, which is in a world of concealment, through revealing the Aleph, the Alufa Shalelam, in the exile, which is basically the idea that the Eivishta is the Balabas, and the Eivishta runs everything in the world, even in Galus. By revealing that fact, you redeem all those things trapped in Galus. And the second point was that Geula is actually made up of, the idea that it's made up of the same letters, plus an Aleph, the idea is that Geula is actually a product of Galus. It's not just something that we need to have in order to get away from Galus, but actually that it's a product of Galus, and it's accomplished by the work that's done in Geula, and this in turn produces Geula. So the Rebbe says, this is how the Rebbe starts off the Sicha, that he wants to focus on a number of points in this, which will add even more explanation in what the work of a Jew has to be standing on the eve of redemption, Erev HaGeula. So that's how the Rebbe introduces this Sicha and Parshas Emor. And the Rebbe says, so in order to have a better understanding of what it is exactly that Geula accomplishes, both in terms of, you know, it's basically through the addition of the Aleph, through adding and revealing the Aleph in the Geula, in both of the things mentioned previously, the idea that it redeems everything that was trapped before this in Galus, and that it's actually accomplished through the Galus. Never says, in order to understand this better, we look at the source of all redemptions, which is the redemption from Mitzrayim. And the Rebbe says that the redemption from Egypt, basically, besides for the fact that all the Jews got to leave, and they got to leave with all of their possessions, much like it says in the prophecy of Yeshaya that the Jews will go out with their gold and their silver with them. So besides that, they also took along and they redeemed, as it were, many of the things that were previously in Galus. Besides for going out themselves with their own possessions, they also took out many of the things that were trapped in the exile of Egypt. As it says that they borrowed from the Egyptians vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments, and they emptied out Egypt. That's what it's described, that they emptied out Egypt, and the Gemara says that they made it like a silo that has no grain, and like a net that is emptied out of fish, that they cleaned out Mitzrayim. So what does that mean? That means the idea of redemption is not just going out from the previous state that you were in, but it's actually taking Egypt itself and redeeming everything that was in Egypt prior, by inserting and revealing the Aleph, the Aluf Shalom, in the matters of Gullus. Which is, what does that mean? That means by revealing the ultimate purpose which the Eibishter created and gave the Egyptians all these things. In order that the Jews should be mevarer, they should refine and extract from the Egyptians and empty out Egypt. Which also allowed that the fulfillment of the promise that Hashem made Avraham Avinu v'achrichen yetzu b'chush gadol, that Eretz would go out with a great wealth. So besides for the fact that they actually redeemed, so to speak, all the things that were in Egypt, besides for themselves going out, they redeemed all of the possessions, as it were, of the Egyptians. Which is, by the way, it says on the words Erev Rav that it's brought in Kabbalah that it alludes to the 202 sparks. Rav alludes to the 202 sparks that had fallen into Egypt, that there's 288 general sparks, of which themselves break down into countless smaller sparks. But the 288 sparks that fell prior to creation, 202 they took out it from Egypt with them. So, but there's another element that we see, a fascinating element that we see in the redemption from Egypt, is that the Egyptians themselves, it says that the people found favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and it says Vayashilum. Besides from Vayishalu, that they asked to borrow, Vayashilum means they borrow them, which is basically to say that Chazal say, the Gemara says that the Egyptians on their own, as Rashi says, that even what they didn't ask for, they gave them. Whereas the Gemara adds and says that they forced, that the Egyptians were forcing the Jews to take more than they themselves asked for. So the obvious question is, what's this idea? What happened all of a sudden that the Egyptians woke up and decided to press upon the Jews their own possessions? Something which obviously is against human nature, that you want to push your own possessions on someone else. The second thing is that the commandment wasn't given to the Egyptians. Abraham didn't say to the Egyptians, you should lend to the Jews. It says to the Jews, you should borrow. But where do you have this idea that they feel obliged to lend to them their possessions, even unasked? And thirdly, after the whole process of the plagues and this whole drama that's going on for about a year, it's all about breaking the Egyptians. So, and here all of a sudden you see a change. It's not so much that the Amish is breaking the Egyptians and sort of forcing them to give up their possessions, but that the Egyptians themselves are volunteering to give up their. Here all of a sudden it's not in a way of breaking the Egyptians, it's that the Egyptians themselves are actually voluntarily giving it up. He says, so the Rebbe explains, the reason for this is because, as we said, the Gula, by definition, includes not only the redemption of the Jewish people, their own personal redemption, it includes the redemption of Egypt as well, of everything that was in Gullus. It's the redemption of everything that was in Gullus through the recognition that the Eibishter is the Aleph of the world, and he runs everything in the world. So the completion of that process was when the Egyptians themselves came to the recognition that the Eibishter is in charge, and they understood and they sensed, even if they didn't necessarily consciously sense. The Gemara says there's this concept of mazlayu chazi, that on some superconscious level they sensed that, as it says, that the purpose of the plagues was v'yedu mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, that the Egyptians will know that I am God. So this knowledge penetrated to the point that the full the fulfillment of this idea that the revelation of the Aleph so permeates and penetrates the Golos that that becomes, transforms the reality of the Golos. So it was necessary that the Egyptians themselves should come to the recognition that God is in charge, and that they need to go, not be forced to give up their possessions, but that they should voluntarily give up their possessions, and even give them things that they didn't ask for, and even if necessary, to press upon and to force upon the Jews to take. So the same thing we see in this specific point, this idea that the Egyptians are voluntarily pressing upon the Jews to take their possessions. Also the second idea of exile. So the first idea of exile, the first idea of Geula, we said, is the redemption of all the things that are present in Golos. Not that you leave everything behind, but they didn't take everything along. Everything gets incorporated into Geula. There's the second idea, the idea that it's the Golos itself that makes that makes up the Geula, is the fact that this whole elevation and redemption of Egypt itself, to the point that Tzachach and Yetzer B'chush Gadol, is only accomplished through the Golos. It's only because the Jews descended into the Golos in Egypt that Egypt was able to reach this state of elevation and recognition of God, that they were voluntarily, they were only able to experience this transformation as a result of the Golos. If the Jews had never been in Golos in Egypt, the Egyptians could have never gone through this process and this transformation. So it's a direct result of the exile itself. So from this we understand, we can extrapolate to all other redemptions, especially considering the fact that not only is the redemption from Egypt the prototype of all future redemptions, actually the source, explained in Chassidus, it's actually the source of all future redemptions. So much so that the Navi says about the future redemption that it's Kimetzeischem Eretz Mitzrayim Arenu Nefloyes, that I will show you wonders like the days of your going out of Egypt. So we see a direct comparison. So from this we see that the reason why the ultimate redemption is called Geula is because it incorporates these two aspects, which is the elevation and the redemption of all things that are present in the Golos, that the Golos itself is elevated, and that this is accomplished as a result of the work that's done in Golos itself. So the question that Rebbe decides to address is, that Rebbe raises a different question. Okay, it's very good. We said that the job in Golos is to reveal the Aleph. What's Aleph? We said Aleph is Alufei Shel Olam, that the Hebrew is called the master of the world. So basically, when we talk about the Hebrew as the master of the world, we're talking about the idea that the Hebrew runs the show. Like the Hebrew is the boss, the Hebrew runs the show. The Hebrew is the rules and governs everything that exists in the world. The question is that aspect of divine revelation is a lower level of godly revelation. That's the godliness that's manifest and present in the world. That's of all the expressions of divinity and of godliness, that is actually considered the lowest. The idea that the Eirishta is involved in and with the world. The fact is that we see in the redemption from Egypt that there were far greater revelations in the redemption from Egypt than simply the fact that God is in charge. For example, we have the fact that we say in the Haggadah that on the night of Pesach, Nigla Aleya Melech Malchem Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God himself was revealed to the Jewish people. And the Baal HaGadah adds that it wasn't just the Eivish that came b'chvoydo u'ba'atzma, that he came in his own glory, in his own, he came he himself. Chassidus explains, what does it mean b'chvoydo u'ba'atzma, he himself in all his glory? It means the revelation of the essence of the Ein Sof was revealed to the Jewish people in Egypt. Besides for that, from day one, the Eivisha tells Moshe Rabbeinu, even before he sets out on his mission to redeem the Jewish people, the Eivisha says the whole purpose of this redemption is that they will serve God on this mountain. The point is Matan Torah. So we see that as a result of Golus, we came to Matan Torah, which is a far greater revelation than the revelation that God is in charge. That's when the Eivisha revealed himself to the Jewish people and said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And he spoke to them in a way of panim upanim divur Hashem imachem, that he spoke to them in a way of face to face. So it is much higher than what we're referring to till now, the revelation of Alufa Shalom. These are much greater revelations. And certainly when we talk about, and the question is even stronger when we talk about the Gula Mitzvah Shalom, the ultimate redemption. Because at that time, in addition to the revelation of Alufa Shalom, the fact that the Eivishta runs the show, and there will be a revelation of godliness that's higher than creation, that transcends creation, to the point that there will be an incomparably greater revelation than there was in the earlier redemptions, both in the physical world, that we say that the very creation itself will be renewed. As the Navi describes, God says, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. And also in terms of godly revelation, it's explained in the Chassidus that it talks about very high levels of godly revelation. Sometimes it talks in the terms of the revelation of Pnimius Atik, the innermost aspect of the divine Keser. And ultimately it talks in Chassidus about the revelation in the time of Gula being the revelation of Atzmus. That's the idea of a Dira B'Tachtayim, that God himself is revealed in his dwelling. And in practical terms, the way the Rambam describes it is that the involvement of the entire world will be exclusively only to know God. Therefore, the Jewish people will be great wise men, and they will know hidden matters, and they will grasp the knowledge of their Creator according to the power of a human being, as it says, that the world will be filled with the knowledge of God as water covers the sea. So that which means at that point, there will not only be a chiddush in terms of creation, new heavens and new earth, not only will there be a chiddush in terms of the godly revelation in the revelations of higher levels of godliness, there will be a chiddush in Torah, which is, as it's just like in, when it comes to the exile and redemption from Egypt, that we went from there, that was in preparation of an anticipation of Matan Torah. Similarly, in the future, there will be a revelation of Pnimis HaTorah. As in fact, Alter Rebbe explains in Chassidus in numerous places that the reason why our Golus is so much longer is because the revelation in Torah that will be in the future time is so much greater, that it requires a much greater preparation. As Rashi in Shir HaShirim refers to the idea that in the future time will be revealed Seita Ameho, Mr. Tzvunoisel, the secret of its reasons and the hidden treasures within the Torah, to the point that the Navi describes it as Torah Chadosha Meiti Teitzi, that we're talking about, it's almost as if we're describing it as a new Torah. So since all these matters that we mentioned, many of which are incomparably higher than the current revelation that we're talking about of Alufa Shaloilo, of the fact that God is the master of the world, and all that is included in what we describe as Geula. So we have to say that all of this is also alluded to in the word Geula, which we said is the letters Geula with the addition of an Aleph. So how do we see all of this alluded to in the word, in the addition of an Aleph to the word Gaila, making Gula? So the Rebbe explains that in the letter Aleph there are a number of explanations of Chassidus as to the significance of the letter Aleph. The first one, which we've been referring to up until this point, is Aleph is from the Lashon Aluf, which means a general or a master, somebody who's in charge, the boss of the world. But that's referred to the Eivisha as Alufa Shalom. He's the one that's the ruler of the world. The other another explanation for the letter Aleph is that Aleph is related to the word in Aramaic, which means to learn, to study. In Aramaic, the word is Upana. In fact, that's where the modern Hebrew took the word Upan, took it from the Aramaic word Upana, which appears in Gemara and Chazal. But actually, it's also used in Torah literature to allude to the idea of learning and studying, because we find in Eev that one of his pals says to him, Alfaka Chachma, Alfaka Bina, I will teach you wisdom, I will teach you understanding. So the other meaning of the word Aleph is that it's related to the idea of study, learning. The third explanation in the word letter Aleph is that Aleph is the same letters as the word Pella. A Pella is something which is beyond understanding. Okay, so we have Aleph is a boss, Aleph is studying, learning and understanding, and Aleph is Pella, which is beyond understanding. So the Rebbe says that in the Avodah of a Jew, to transform the Golos into Geula, to transform the exile into redemption, there are three basic components to this job. What are three stages, three levels, if you will? There is the job to reveal godliness in the world, the godliness that is relative to the world, meaning the godly light and the godly involvement, the godly presence inside the world. The godliness that is tailored to the finite limitations of this world. That's aspect one, step one, stage one, if you will. Step two is revealing godliness which is higher than the world. Higher than the world, but relates to the world. Okay, there are things that are infinitely higher than, when you say something is infinitely higher than something else, means there's no relativity between the two. When you say there's something that's higher, but it's higher than means it relates to something, but its relationship is that it's above it. So we're talking about the revelation of godliness that's above the world. This is specifically accomplished through Torah, which Torah is described as preceding the world. Torah is also open to the idea of study. And this is part two of our job, is to reveal the godliness that's higher than the world but relates to the world. Step three is revelation of godliness that's completely above the world in a way that is called mufla, pella. It's totally separate, totally beyond comprehension. And this is also accomplished through Torah, but through the aspect of Torah that's called neflois. Right? David HaMelech says, Gal Einai, open, uncover my eyes. Vabita neflois mitarezah. I will gaze upon the wonders that are in your Torah. The wonders that are in your Torah, that's the aspect of Pnimius HaTorah, which will only fully be revealed in the future time. So the first thing is, so first step, first stage, when you're talking practical terms, is to take all worldly matters that the person comes into contact with and deals with, and reveal the fact that God is the boss by showing how God is the Aleph and the boss of the world and is in the world, a world meaning a world of concealment, which means that the way it's created is that it naturally conceals godliness, naturally conceals the divine utterances that make it into, bring it into existence. The job of a world, of the Jew, is revealing within the world how the Eibishter runs the world, both in general, how the Eibishter runs everything in the general sense, and also in the specifics of the individual worldly matters. And this is mostly accomplished through Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shamayim and B'chol Derechecha Dehayu, by utilizing and everything in the world for a godly purpose. That's how you reveal that everything in the world exists. It's the godliness in each thing is what's important, and it's what's what runs everything is by utilizing everything in it. And this is accomplishing the idea of redemption. As one of the descriptions we say about the future time, we say in the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, we say v'yeda kol po ki'ata fa'alta, that every created being will know that you made him. Okay, so that's a key component in Geula and redemption. But that's only stage one. There's a higher thing in the revealing of the Aleph, which is, we said Aleph from the term which means to learn, to study. Alfeka Chachma, Alfeka Bina, the revelation of godliness in the future, in the ultimate redemption, will be that in addition to the godliness that is relative to creation, that is invested in creation, or as the terminology that's used in it's used in Chassidus, even though it's actually borrowed from the early Jewish philosophers, the terms Koyach HaPoel B'Nifal, the energy of the creator in the creation, but Poel doesn't mean creation, the energy of the worker in the work. So in addition to that, there's also the godliness which is higher than the world. And that comes from Aleph, as Aleph expresses the aspect of divine intellect. Chachma and Bina, divine intellect, that's what we say, Alfeka Chachma, Alfeka Bina. And in fact, and this is as it's expressed in Torah, and we describe Torah as being, Chazal described Torah as preceding the world by 2,000 years. Alpayim Shana. The word for 1,000 is Aleph. Alpayim Shana, two Alephs. What's two Alephs? Two Alephs, explain the Chassidus, that's alluded to in this verse in Iyov that says Alfeka Chachma, Alfeka Bina, that these two Alephs, that's the idea of the divine intellect, the divine aspects of Chachma and Bina, that transcend the world but are also connected to the world. And that's what we describe it as, 2,000 years prior to the world. It's not completely removed from the world, otherwise you wouldn't say it's prior to the world, it's way beyond it. Describe it as 2,000 years prior to the world, saying it's higher than the world, it precedes the world, but it also relates to the world. And then we come to the even higher Indian in Aleph Oisis Pella, which is the aspect of redemption, which is described as the revelation of Neflois, of wonders. Can we say some at the time out of Neflois? I will show you wonders, including and especially the Neflois within Torah, as we say in the Pasuk, Gal Einai Vavita Neflois V'Teresach, I will see the Neflois. The revelation of Pnimis HaTorah, meaning those aspects of Torah which in and of themselves are inherently concealed and beyond all, not only human intellect, but beyond even divine intellect, that even that will be revealed. But it's not just that it'll be revealed, it'll be revealed within the lower levels of Aleph. The Aleph, Isis Pala, will be revealed in a way that it can actually be learned and understood, and it will be revealed in a way that it will actually be revealed within the world, like the other meaning of Aleph, which is Alufi Shalom. So we have three stages. Aleph, Alufi Shalom. Aleph, which is related to the idea of study and understanding of Meichen, of Chachma and Bina. We have Aleph, Isis Pella, that which is completely beyond all understanding. And ultimately, the highest of all the revelations is ultimately revealed within the lower levels. It's revealed on a level that we can actually learn it and understand it, to the point that it's actually revealed within the world, that it could be perceived as godliness within the world itself. So, The Rebbe says he's going to paraphrase this in the language of Chassidus, which in the language of Chassidus is that it is in the terms of the spheres as they exist up above. The title of the Eibush as Aluf Shalom corresponds to the sphere of Malchus, which is a future revelation of God's kingdom in the world, which is alluded to in what we every time we say Shema, when the word Echad he's supposed to reveal, he's supposed to have in mind to crown him as king over the seven heavens and the earth and the four corners of the earth. But more generally, Malchus is the end of, right, just like in Sefirot Ha'Emor, we say we're supposed to refine all seven Midas. Malchus is sometimes counted as separate from the Midas, sometimes it's included with as one of the Midas. So more generally speaking, this aspect of Aluf HaShalaylam would be Malchus and the other Midas as well, which are all invested in and the source of the way the Eibushter creates and governs the world. The second level in Sefirot, the idea of open study, is, as we said, is intellect. Chachma and Bina, Chachma, Bina, the Indian of Meichen, which is Chachma and Bina. The third level, Pella, can be described in one of two ways. Since we said that it's related to the Neflois that are within Torah, so we could say that it's, obviously we could say that it's the idea of Keser, which is above intellect. Thus, like a crown is above the head, Keser is above intellect. But in the context that we're speaking here, the Rebbe says it could also be used to allude to Etzem HaMoichen, very essence of intellect, which the very essence of intellect doesn't simply transcend emotion but relates to emotions. The essence of intellect is completely removed from the world and domain of emotions. The essence of intellect is just the means by which one apprehends pure objective reality and has absolutely no relationship with subjective reality at all. Intellect itself, the normal process of intellect you learn is, obviously when you're learning, you're trying to get an objective understanding, but the purpose of your objective understanding is your objective understanding as it relates to your subjective life. How are you going to apply it into your own subjective life and issues? So it's the intellect as it relates to the emotions. Pure intellect is just a means by which one apprehends pure objective reality, which totally transcends one's own personal subjective reality, and therefore is also associated with Keser, which completely transcends intellect. And we know, it's brought up to this, that nowadays, meaning before the redemption, the main work, the main work is in conquering and refining the seven emotional attributes, the Midas. And in the future time will also be the Avoda of Meichem Mitzad Atzma, the essence of intellect, which is alluded to in the conquest of the other three nations, the lands of the other three nations, not just the lands of the seven nations, but the land of the other three nations, which will be conquered in the future, of Keni, Knezi, and Kadmoni. So, similarly, when we talk about the revelation of godliness that will be present in the future time, in the time of the Geula, Mitzvah Shleima, with saying that in addition to the revelation of the divine energy that's invested into creation, or as we said, Kayach HaPoel Ben Nifal, the energy that's invested into the work, so to speak, in addition to the revelation of godliness that transcends creation, there will also be the revelation of the essence of God down below. And in fact, to the contrary, it's explained in Chassidus that the divine essence can only be revealed within the physicality of the created being. It cannot be revealed in the spiritual realms. It can only be created, revealed, and expressed fully in the physicality of the created being. So, the Rebbe says, after all this, we understand what is this accomplishment of Geula, the idea that we take, that it's made up of Geula, with the addition of the letter Aleph, that it incorporates and includes all these three stages. Aleph, Aluf, Shalaylam, Aleph, open of a limut, Aleph, the idea of study, intellect, and Aleph, Isis, Pella. And in fact, it's specifically through the Aveda and Galus that we actually achieve, by doing the work of inserting the Aleph, we actually achieve all of these revelations, starting with the revelation that all created beings will know that you created them, leading to the revelation of the ultimate perfection in the study of Torah, which is the revelation of godliness that transcends intellect, till ultimately the revelation of the hidden wonders within Torah. All of this is as a result of our work in Golos, which is to say that it cannot suffice with just the work of Kol Maaseach L'Shem Shamayim and B'chol Drachecha De'eyu, working with the physical matters of this world and trying to reveal their godly purpose and their godly intent, and through that revealing the godliness that's invested in them, and the fact that God is the boss of everything, as it were. But we also have to reveal the aspect of intellect which relates to emotion, which is through Torah study in general, and the aspect of intellect which completely transcends creation and is completely removed from creation. There also has to be the avoda of the study of Pnimius HaTorah. So the Rebbe says that, by the way, this aspect of revealing the godliness that completely transcends creation is not only through the study of Pnimius HaTorah in Golos. We want to try to understand better how Golos leads to this result. Because according to our explanation, that Golos, the same letter, is just the addition of the Aleph. To better understand and appreciate how Golos leads to the result, not only through the fact that you study Pnimius HaTorah in Golos, but it's actually accomplished through the very union of Golos itself. How's that? How does Golos itself bring about the revelation of godliness that completely transcends creation? So he says like this. It says, the Navi tells us, the Navi Yeshaya says, "V'amarta v'yemahu," and you will say on that day, "Oitcha havaya ki anafto bi." I praise you, I thank you, God, for having vented your anger on me. And the Navi continues, and he says, "Now yashuv abcha," now you should take back your anger, "utenachameni," and you should console me. That's what, thank you.
Console me.
So it says, so one second. What is this thanking God for having vented his anger at me? What does it mean, I will thank God for having vented his anger at me? You can't say that the reason why I'm thanking God is because of this, what it says in the second half of the verse, "Now take back your anger and console me." So I'm thanking him for taking back the anger and consoling me, because if that's what I'm thanking him for, then I'm not thanking him for the anger itself. If what I want is get rid of that anger, then I'm not really thanking him for the anger itself. So what does it mean, I'm thanking you because you vented your anger? I mean, that's why I'm giving praise and thanks to you. So you have to say that on some level I'm actually thanking God for the actual divine expression of anger. So what is the thanks in that? What is there to be grateful for and appreciation for, to give praise and thanks for? So the explanation is that it's specifically through the descent in Golos. Not just a descent in Golos. A descent in Golos in a way of an afterbe, that you vented your anger upon me. You really let me have it. It's through that comes the elevation of the future redemption, up to and including the highest revelations. Revelations that are so high that I can relate to them through... it's not something I can see and perceive. It's not something I can even understand. It's something that completely transcends intellect. And the only way I can relate to it is through submission, through haidah, which is a combination of submission and admission, meaning I admit and I accept that this was great. This is good. This is awesome, even though I don't understand it. Similar to, we find a similar verse that says, it says in the pasuk, Oida Shmecha Ki Yosiso Pela. Yeshaya says another prophecy, that I give thanks and praise to your name, because you did wonders, Pela. Because you made Pela. What's Pela? So, one of the explanations that the Tzemach Tzedek says on this verse, what does it mean, I thank you, I give thanks to your name because you made Pela, you made wonder? What is this Pela? So he says, it's talking about the length of Golos. The length of Golos is something that's absolutely, totally, utterly, completely beyond comprehension. In fact, it falls into the category of the what Chazal say in the Mishnah, which on the surface, what the Chazal say in the Mishnah, b'muflam imchal tidresh, that from what's beyond you, you should not seek out. So it's talking about deep. The Mishnah is talking about ma'aseh bereishis, ma'aseh merkava, understanding the deeper inner, divine inner workings of creation. But it's described that this Chassidus, it explains that there are levels. We do learn certain aspects of Kabbalah and ma'aseh bereishis and ma'aseh merkava. Moflu mocha means those things that are inherently beyond understanding. So the Tzemach Tzedek says that that's also alluding to the length of the Golos. That the length of the Golos is something that's totally beyond understanding, and that's what the Navi is saying, Oida Shmecha, Ki Yosiso Pela. I'm going to give thanks to your name because you made Pela. Because in the future time, what will be is, the Zaya quotes this same verse, Ki Yosiso Pela, and says, Oida Shmecha, Ki Yosiso Aleph. I'll give praise to your name because you made Aleph. It's the same letters as the word Pela. What does it mean because you made Aleph? That means what now is totally beyond understanding, beyond comprehension, in the future time will be revealed as Aleph, something which can be learnt and comprehended. And not only that, it can actually ultimately be seen. So specifically, so the Devas is, besides for the study of Pnimius HaTorah, there's also the overcoming the darkness of exile. The fact that you accept the idea, in other words, if you look at exile if you look at exile simply as a concealment, as a hindrance, as an obstacle, so you're gonna be limited in how much you're going to be able to actually use the struggle and the fight against that darkness as a springboard for growth. But if you recognize and you accept, even though you don't see it yet, you don't really understand it yet, but you accept that the darkness of exile itself is the ultimate expression of God's goodness. You don't see it. You don't get it. You don't appreciate it. But you at least accept that that's the reality. So in this very struggle with the darkness itself is an empowerment to transcend the Golos and to relate to that aspect of godliness which completely transcends intellect and to bring about that revelation. So the Rebbe goes on to explain, very interesting, the Rebbe goes on to explain how these three aspects are actually manifested in Mashiach himself. Since we say that these are the three basic components of Geula, then it goes on to explain how these have to be present in Mashiach himself, all these three levels, and the Rebbe uses the fact that in these two, even though the Rambam doesn't bring it in his Mishnah Torah, in his legal code, in two other places the Rambam does say that the future Mashiach will be a descendant of both David and Shlomo. Why does the Rambam add this idea that it will be a descendant from Shlomo? The Rebbe uses that we find that Shlomo is was given tremendous wisdom, and it says that the greatness of his wisdom, that his wisdom was greater mikol chachmas mitzray. Vaterev chachmas shloima mikol chachmas mitzray. So the Rebbe says that Shlomo HaMelech represents the idea that it's not just his wisdom was greater than theirs. The Hasidic explanation is that mikol chachmas mitzray, from the wisdom that existed in the world, he was able to increase his wisdom from that wisdom itself. So the Rebbe says that that's this idea in that we find by Mashiach. The Mashiach will be, on the one hand, we say he will be, the Rambam says he will be even more wise than Shlomo. This the Rambam does say in the Yad. He says in Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam says that this future king that will rise up will be a greater wise man than even Shlomo HaMelech. The Rebbe says that represents the ultimate perfection of intellect. As we said, pure intellect is Pella, is that which transcends subjective reality. And you will also obviously have the other aspects of intellect as it relates to Moshe, because we know that Mashiach is both a Rebbe and a king. So you will have all these different levels that we refer to, the idea of transcendental intellect, and be a king, a ruler over the people. So the Rebbe says, in order for every Jew to have the power to actually be able to receive this revelation, to absorb this revelation, you have to make certain preparations. It's not just poof, magic. You wake up, and now all of a sudden you're ready to receive all sorts of godly revelations. Nope. You have to actually, the Rebbe says, you have to tap into your own inner Mashiach. You have to reveal your own inner Mashiach, which means that you have to reveal and utilize your own Malchus and Midras. You have to utilize properly your own intellect as it relates to Midas, and also your pure essential intellect as it completely transcends subjective reality. And the Rebbe relates that to the Mishnah in that chapter, in the fourth chapter in Avos. Again, and then later the Rebbe goes on and relates to the fact that it's the Shabbos immediately following Lag BaOmer, is within 3 days of Lag BaOmer, and the connection to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, whose his whole idea is the revelation of the innermost wonders of Torah that are beyond human intellect, and especially this was the revelation of the day of his passing, but that's when he revealed the highest secrets. And at the time of his passing, before he revealed the secrets, he said to his disciple Rabbi Abba that you should write these down. So that's through the writing them down, and the fact that in later times, the Tzaddik himself prophesied that these statements will be explained and be explicated and brought down to a level of understanding. So this is similar to, and relates to, the revelation of the future time, how the highest revelations of Torah are brought down into the level of learning. In addition to additionally, Rav Shimon bar Yochai is the one that connects the Pnimius HaTorah with the revealed Torah, because other scholars who are involved primarily in the secrets of the Torah hardly appear at all in the revealed Torah. Whereas Rav Shimon is not only the main source of the secrets of the Torah, but he appears extensively in every section of Jewish law. He's quoted all over throughout the revealed Torah. And Rav Shimon is the one that we say, Rav Shimon is the one who's, the Gemara quotes Rav Shimon bar Yochai saying that wherever the Jews went into exile, the Shechina is with them. They went to Babel, the Shechina is with them. They went to Madai, the Shechina is with them. Because it's through his revelation, Pnimius HaTorah, that he reveals the Shechina in Galus. how the Shekhinah is present in Golos, and the Rebbe connects it with Hayit Shabbat, fine. But and then it continues on, we have the revelation of the Arizal, at which time it became permitted and it became an obligation to study these things, and then the revelation of Chassidus from Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid, especially the Alter Rebbe, who brought it into Chabad to the point that it also spreading the wellsprings outward, that the wellsprings outward is not only reaching other people, it means spreading it to your own outside. Your own outside means the aspects of yourself that are outside intellect, which means your soul faculties, including those of the animal soul, and so on. So the Rebbe says that this is the work that we were given by our Rabbeim to reveal the innermost wonders of Torah in a way that it impacts on all of one's faculties, all of one's senses, and everything in the world. The Rebbe goes on. The Rebbe is very interesting. The Rebbe said, the Ansar of it says like this, Bepashtus. What does it mean, Bepashtus? All this stuff that, wow, this is the job, and you're revealing the Aleph's. Bepashtus. What's the Pashtus? That through the study of Torah in general, and especially Pnimius HaTorah as it was revealed in Teres HaChassidus, the Rebbe adds here a very interesting parenthetical comment. The Rebbe says, including through looking at the face of your teacher. The Rebbe says the luminosity of his face, as it says, the wisdom of man makes his face luminous, that actually adds in understanding what you learned. The Rebbe says, where do you see that gazing upon the countenance of your Rebbe increases in your understanding of what you learned? He says that this is, the Gemara brings a statement from Rabbeinu HaKadosh. The Rabbeinu HaKadosh says, if you want to know why I am more at my mental sharpness and acuity is greater than that of my fellow colleagues, is because I saw Reb Meir from behind. I once saw Reb Meir from behind. If I would have actually seen his face, I would have been far greater, sharper, if I would have actually been able to see his face. I only saw him from behind. That's why I'm sharper than all my colleagues, but I'm not as sharp as I could have been if I would have seen his face. And the Gemara brings their whole story and why he only saw it at his back and not his face. But the point is that through, the Rebbe says, Bepashtus, this is the bottom line. What are we supposed to take from all this? That through the study of Torah in general, and especially Pnimius HaTorah as revealed in Chassidus, a person becomes a vessel to godly revelation in the world, including the revelation of godliness as it's invested in the world, in a way of actually seeing that godliness, not just having an awareness, even more so the revelation of the power of the essence as it manifests in the physical created being. That's what a person becomes a vessel to, through the study of Torah in general, the study of Chassidus becomes a vessel to seeing the godliness that's invested in the world, including seeing the divine essence, God himself, as it manifested in the physicality of the created being. How does this manifest in his everyday life? So this starts from that in every, that is so, the way this manifests in his actual practice in life is that he's not only involved in the avoidance of evil, sur meira, which is one part of the oath that you take, and the Alter Rebbe says the time is the main part of the oath that you're responsible for is the part of the oath that says Al Tehi Rasha, don't be a wicked person. But no, now his focus becomes more on the Tehi Tzadik, on being, because the Alter Rebbe says not everyone merits to be a Tzadik, so the main, your main focus has to be on fulfilling the part that says don't be a Rasha. But the Rebbe says, but since once the person perceives the power of the divine essence as it's manifested in his own physical being. That gives him the power down below that he should really reach the highest level, including the level of being an actual tzaddik. So the Rebbe says, at the very least, by fulfilling what Dalai Rebbe says in Tanya, which Dalai Rebbe says that even though your main focus is on don't be a wicked person, his main focus is that Dalai Rebbe says you still are obligated to try to fulfill the part of the oath which is to be a tzaddik. So you should take out time to focus on those things to meditate on those things which make you realize how disgusting evil really is. And he says that if you get into the habit, and your habit becomes second nature, of seeing all physical worldly desires as repulsive and disgusting, so habit becomes second nature, and also perhaps through your arousal from below, you will be invested with the spirit of some tzaddik that lived once before, whose spirit hovers over the earth, would be invested in your being. The Rebbe says, but now, Yesh Laimar, that after everything that we've been through, after all the refinements and the purifications that we've gone through throughout the generations, now, the Rebbe says, every Jew, the words Yeder Yid are italicized for emphasis, now every Jew can certainly reach the highest levels, including to actually be a tzaddik in a revealed way, as it will be in B'Shleimus in the time of the Gula Amitis V'Shleim. So the Rebbe says, so to the point that as a result of that, you have also the work of Afat Samayonis Chutza, that you also have the power to reveal and draw these godly revelations into the world, into the outermost Chutza, the outermost externalities of the world. And all of that is a preparation for and a vessel for the divine revelation of the true and complete redemption, when the entire world will be involved exclusively only in the pursuit of the knowledge of God and the revelation of Pnimius HaTorah, till in a way of Ahayu Einecha Rayus Esmeirecha, that your eye will behold your teacher, which in that verse is actually referring to the Eibishter himself. So the Rebbe says, the Hayrah, Pashtas, in terms of what Jews have to do in order to speed up even more the redemption, in addition to a person's work in his own portion of the world, to the point that he's involved in everything in the world to reveal how the Eibishter is the boss of the world, and is in the world, and is in everything in the world, especially by utilizing all the things of the world for a heavenly and divine purpose, and to increase in the knowledge of God, and how everything in the world reveals God's glory. There has to be a special increase in the study of Torah, especially in Pnimius HaTorah, as revealed in Chassidus, in a way of understanding Chochmah Bina Das, also influencing others around him through the spreading of Torah and Yiddishkeit and the spreading of the wellsprings. The Rebbe says, Yiratzah, that through the work of completing the process of inserting and revealing the Aleph in Gaila, this will immediately bring the Gula, take it from Yad Mamish, even as Jews are still in their current state. We said that through all this, Jews could reach all kinds of amazing, loftier states that they could never reach before, including to be an actual revealed tzaddik. And every Jew can reach that. So we say, so we have to wait around until every Jew gets there. No. By doing the work, we zeicha that the geula should come, even as Jews are in their current state. They haven't yet completed that transformation. Even if their garments are soiled garments, the Eibusha still will not delay them, even for an instant, and will take care of cleansing those garments afterwards. And the Rebbe says to all Jews, b'nareinu v'zkeneinu, and then we should go to the Beis HaMikdash, the whole wrap-up. So basically what the Rebbe is saying here is, the obvious question, and I'm sorry I left a little time to address, the obvious question is, all he said here was that you should learn Torah and learn Chassidus. That's not news. So, like, how all of a sudden, how did learning Torah and learning Chassidus, or spreading Yiddishkeit and spreading Chassidus, how did all of a sudden that become like some kind of amazing preparation and revelation for all of a sudden now, by doing that, we have the power to see the godliness that's invested in creation. We have the power to see the essence of the divine essence as it's invested in the physicality of our physical beings, and this in turn empowers us to actually reach the highest levels of spirituality, including those levels which it says in Tanya you can't reach, which is to be an absolute tzaddik. So, like, how did what happened? How did that what changed? What happened? I'm not gonna have time to really answer the question. I'm just more raising the question, but without getting into how that happened, the bottom line is he's saying it happened. So we need to adjust our whole way of thinking. When we're the point is, the bottom line is that instead of just learning Torah and learning Chassidus from the vantage point of, okay, I'm like we said in earlier weeks, the idea that Tanya is based on the fact that you're this animal and you have to get this animal under control, and hopefully by to some degree get in touch with your own inner, your true being, which is your soul, your godly soul, occasionally let it shine through and break through the concealment of your whole animal being. So basically, the whole focus has been, until now, has been coping with the darkness, dealing with the darkness, coping with the darkness, overcoming the darkness, your own darkness, the darkness in the world around you, the dark. So you're looking to the Torah to illuminate your way in the darkness, through the darkness, dealing with the darkness, overcoming the darkness. Here the Rebbe is saying that we got past that point. The point that we are now focusing on is preparation for redemption. Preparation for redemption means that now we're not supposed to be relating to the darkness as a hindrance that has to be overcome, that has to be fought with, that has to be struggled. Now we're at the point, just like at the end of the Golos of Mitzrayim, after the whole process is completed, the Rebbe said that the Egyptians are themselves voluntarily bringing their vessels and their clothes to the Jews, and they're giving them even things they didn't ask for, and the Gemara says they're even forcing it upon the Jews, who said, I have enough, so, no, take it. The idea that the Golos itself, it's not just through breaking the darkness, but it's a transform, the completion of the process is when it's transformative, that the Egyptians themselves are voluntarily coming to the recognition, understanding that this is what they need to do, this is what they have to do. So the same thing that we need to, well, this point where we're at is this final transformative state where we're not fighting the darkness, we're not breaking the darkness, we're not, that's done. We're past that. Now, what we need to be focusing is on the transformative power of Torah, the transformative power of Chassidus, to actually become what you learn, and that the Torah has the power to make that again, because of everything we've been through already. And it's not because of your special gifts and talents and your uniquely handsome exterior and so on. It's because of your, because of everything we've been through. The fact that we've been through this tremendously refining process of Golos, and B, Mashiach himself is investing us with these kaychas. But the idea is that you're not supposed to be starting from the vantage point where you see reality from your subjective reality, and you look to Torah to provide a flashlight in the darkness of your own subjective reality. You're supposed to be coming at it from the other way. You're looking to Torah to see what the objective reality, and to bring that objective reality into your own subjective reality and the subjective reality of the world around you, and the main chiddush is that that's where you're at, that's where you're holding, that's you're ready for it, the world is ready for it, and you have the power to transform yourself and the world around you. Obviously, we don't want to, the Rebbe doesn't want to put any preconditions on saying that, like, the Gula has to wait until everybody gets there, but this is the job that needs to be done, and hopefully the Rebbe will not wait. The Rebbe clearly indicates that that's not the point, to wait till it's fully completed, but take us out as we are, and we'll finish whatever needs finishing afterwards.